As a preface to this episode, I would like to make mention that this year, 2020, the Free Comic Book Day, which is usually held on the first Saturday of May, is going to be postponed to later in the summer due to the impact of the COVID-19 virus. We welcome you to check on the pages of Free Comic Book Day for when the date is announced. Thank you.
Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica, and today my guest is
Ashton Greenwood from Diamond Comic Distributors.
And I'm very excited to have Ashton here today because, as Syosset people know, or anybody who's listened to us, we love comic books here. We have had SciCon twice, which is our biennial Comic-Con here at Syosset Library. And we are strong believers in... All right, I'm back. We are strong believers in the comic book as definitely being part of literature, be it visual literature, artistic literature, or just, you know, something that people enjoy. And that's pretty much where we're coming at it. Could you talk a little bit about your job and...
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the marketing partnerships associate at Diamond. So my main kind of function is to organize our outreach events. So that would be Free Comic Book Day and then also Halloween Comic Fest in October, which is basically the spooky counterpart of Free Comic Book Day. Now, and then I just do some of also our publicity things in terms of like promoting things, doing press releases, all of that, and also handling our advertising opportunities.
So that's really cool. So today we'll talk about Free Comic Book Day. So how long has Free Comic Book Day been around? And when did, where, why did it start?
Yeah, so Free Comic Book Day was started in 2002. It was the idea was come up with by a guy named Joe Field, who owns Flying Colors Cards and Comics in Concord, California. And he came up with the idea kind of to function as an outreach event for people that maybe hadn't read comics before, didn't know they had a shop nearby, and to use it as a way to get new people into shops. And in that first year, there were only 4 books you could get for free, and now we've worked our way up to anywhere from like 45 to 50 books.
It's really exciting. Do you know about how many people participated?
I know last year we had, you know, over 2,300 comic shops participating in it, and then around 400 libraries.
It began, so you had... A lot of shops participate, but you've also it started to include libraries. So the way that I understand it as a consumer of comic books is so this one day, it's around, usually it's sometime in April or no, it's the first Saturday of May.
Yeah.
It's first Saturday of May every year. And you go to a participating comic shop, which usually is most of them these days. And they have, as you said, like up to about like 50 special comic books that you can just come and take.
Yes, ma'am.
And how does it work? Like, do the creators themselves decide that they're going to participate in it? Is it usually the publishing houses that kind of work this up beforehand?
Yeah, so the way we do it is we send out an application to all of the publishers that work with Diamond, and they can choose whether or not they want to participate, and then they fill out the application, they throw their hat in the ring for whatever book they want to do, and then we compile all of those applications and give them to what we call our selection committee, which is a committee made up of about like 8 to 10 comic shop owners from various parts in the country. And they deliberate over what they think would be titles that, you know, would sell well, that people already know. So you'll see a lot of like mainstream properties in Free Comic Book Day because we want to appeal to the masses.
Right. And it's good for parents or people who maybe, you know, like they might want to get into comic books or they want to get their children into comic books. I used to go just by myself or with my friends or with my husband. But now that I have young children, we've made a yearly tradition out of it. And it's good because it has comics, I think, even though you say it's mainstream, the comics that are available, they can appeal to all ages. There can be some that are really more adult friendly. There could be some that are all ages friendly, some that would appeal to kids who aren't necessarily into superheroes per se. So it's really like the range is very robust.
Absolutely. And that's done with intention. We really want this to be an event that like anybody can go to, like any go by themselves, like you said, or take their family, and that everybody can walk away with something that is perfect for them.
And I know that a lot of the comic book shops that participate, they will take the time of for that day to, you know, they'll usually either have like costumed guests. I know near us, Some shout out to Grasshopper Comics in Williston Park. They usually get the 501st from Star Wars, the costuming group, to come.
Oh, that's so cool.
And Darth Vader is usually walking around the main street there, which is very cool.
Yeah.
My kids are always looking for him. We also, they'll have sales. They'll, you know, bring out the boxes that have been, you know, and, you know, maybe behind the scenes, and you can find that thing that you haven't, you've been looking for, you didn't remember you wanted that issue, and you'll get it at a discount. So it's really boosted, you know, the visibility of comic book shops, which while there are comic book shops, I think that are chains, you know, you have like your Newberry Comics, you have a few different shops that are chains. They all seem to be mainly still independent. Do you find that?
Yeah, that actually is the case. There's no like big like comic book chain, like there's no Barnes and Noble of the comic book world. And anytime there is like a quote-unquote chain that happens to be like three or four or five of the same store, it's still owned by, you know, one guy or like a family. So they're all very much like people in your community. They're all locally owned and operated.
Which is, I mean, I know I always lament the loss of bookstores, be they big box or mom and pop bookstores in general. And now, you know, I mean, in certain areas, Barnes & Noble is what you got, and you're going to go to Barnes & Noble if you want to go to a bookstore. But the unique thing, I think, about comic book shops, and that's not to say, I believe Barnes & Noble has started to kind of lean into Free Comic Book Day, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they have, actually, yeah.
Yeah. But comic book shops are so unique in that they are independently owned, and a lot of people talk about shopping local, and you can't get much more local than your local comic book shop. I think it's really lovely that the publishers have recognized this.
It's great. It's a really great chance to like get to know somebody in your community. And the cool thing about comic shop owners is they genuinely want to get to know their customers. So like they'll take the time to talk to you and ask you like, what brings you in? What books do you like? If they can recommend anything. And it really like kind of rebuilds that community aspect.
It really is lovely. And now libraries have gotten in on the gig. So has the since its inception in 2002, is it a more recent thing that libraries have begun to participate?
Yeah, absolutely. In the last couple years, last 4 or 5 years or so, it's become more of a common thing for libraries to kind of get involved. And it's great, especially for communities where there really isn't a comic shop close by, or like you'd have to go out of your way to get to a comic shop. Everybody has a library, and that's already a hub of reading. So it makes sense. It's a natural pairing. And like you said, a lot of comic book shops do their own sorts of like comic cons or like fan events and stuff. So again, it's a natural pairing.
I think so too. And libraries, as time goes on, have embraced that aspect of the world and have kind of begun to note that this is sort of the future of people getting together and talking about books and media. So a lot of librarians are, I mean, when I started, there were librarians who were into comic books. I remember
being, you know, one of the few who knew how to pronounce some of the manga titles.
Right.
And now it's, what do you mean you don't know how to say, you know, like Inuyasha? That's so easy. Everybody knows Inuyasha. And it's like almost like, you know, like, of course, everybody's going to, the classics aren't going anywhere, but libraries are for everybody, and we need to open our doors to everything. And comic books represent diverse populations now. You know, the creators are really coming in to play in the sandbox. I know that there's still a lot of work to be done in that way, but I know there's a big push, you know, for diversified creators and stories. Mm-hmm. And this is what libraries are all about. We're supposed to be opening the doors to these things. And plus, it's art.
Absolutely. And I've even noticed, like, some of the public libraries around me, that their graphic novel sections are growing by the day and are some of the bigger sections in their libraries, and also the busiest.
They really are. I know for a fact our juvenile graphic novel collection circulates... Mm-hmm. It's one of our highest circulating collections, which is great, because people are really beginning to see the value in letting children read comic books. I know that sounds kind of sad, but it's not wrong, because there was for a while kind of a stigma against it, and there still is from time to time. But I have seen less reluctancy and more encouragement from the parents, be it that they themselves are fans, or just in general, that the general view of consuming comic book, consuming graphic novels has started to shift.
Absolutely. And for the longest time, you kind of touched on this, there was this like weird notion that they were like inappropriate for kids, or like the content was too graphic for kids. But now it's really become a tool that educators are leaning on to help like their reluctant readers get into reading.
And there's also a lot to be said for visual literacy. Some people, some people actually have to learn how to follow a comic book, because it does present a different way of storytelling.
Right.
In a way, it's like the oldest way of storytelling, because when you look at, you know, like be it hieroglyphics or just other ancient writing, pictures were a way to convey a story. But you can also, when you're reading a comic book or a graphic novel, there's a lot of subtext that you can get, which might be an info dump for somebody who might not have the attention span, or just, you know, like consumes information differently. So you can see emotions and match it with the dialogue. And maybe if it doesn't match, you can tell that there's something going on behind the scenes. That's like, that's other than, you know, watching a motion picture or a movie. That's a very unique way of presenting information in book form.
And you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get kind of like those, you get the subtext, like you said, and the body language and those kind of behind the scenes things that you would get with a movie, and pair it with the world building and the detail of reading an actual book.
It's really quite great. So without giving too much away, is there anything coming up that you're excited about, that you know of, that people could look out for?
In terms of the books?
Yeah, for 2020?
Yeah, so there's one of the books is called Firepower Number 1, and this one's super exciting because it's by Robert Kirkman, the author of The Walking Dead, and it's his first new series since The Walking Dead ended last year, 2019.
I didn't know he was coming out with a new series. That's great.
Yeah, so that's an exciting one. And then to hit some of like the maybe bigger names that people might know, there's Power Rangers, there's going to be The Legend of Zelda, My Little Pony, Marvel's going to do an X-Men title.
That's cool. Legend of Zelda, there's going to be a new Legend of Zelda comic book. I know tons of people who are going to be very excited about that.
It's already got, there's a lot of hype. Like anytime we kind of like try to push that book out on social media and be like, hey, don't forget about the legends. Because we try to like promote all of them on our channels. That
right.
seems to be one of the one that gets a lot of excitement.
I think because Legend of Zelda, which started as a video game, has such a rich mm-hmm. narrative. And it's one of the earlier right. video games on a mainstream platform that does kind of have that mythic quality. And it goes very well with a book or a comic book.
Absolutely. And it's already has a lot of like really vibrant graphics, and the art is already incredible from the game, so it translates naturally into a fantastic comic book.
Very cool. And My Little Pony, which was a toy property when I was a kid, has grown to become something else, which is also sort of impressive. It was rebooted by Lauren Faust, I believe is the name of the animator who kind of began to write the story with, I guess, more depth, and has grown into a comic book favorite as well.
It's a really good one because, like you said, there's more depth to the characters. It's especially good for younger kids and girls who maybe feel like it's harder for them to find things that are geared towards them in the comic book world. But it also teaches a lot of really great lessons about, you know, responsibility and accountability and how we interact with others and how we should treat others. And so there's a lot more going on in there than how it originally started.
So what got you into comic books? How long have you been a reader?
So I've always been somebody that's been kind of in the nerd community. Like, I've grown up with Star Wars and all of those more traditional avenues. And then when The Walking Dead came on TV, like, several years ago at this point, I got really into that. I mean, my brother have always been really into zombies for some reason. And so I was super into that. And then realized after I had already gotten into it that it was adapted from a comic. So then I sought out the comics, and that was kind of my gateway into all of that, and kind of explains why I have a tendency towards indie comics.
Yeah, indie comics have exploded quite recently, I have to say. What are some properties? I know Diamond has a bunch of different properties that they distribute.
Yeah, so we work with the big two, if you want to call them, Marvel and DC, and then also Image Comics, who, you know, publishes The Walking Dead and Kirkman Stories, among others. And then IDW Publishing, Dark Horse, Dynamite, Boom Studios. Those are probably the biggest ones we work with. And then tons and tons and tons of other smaller indie publishers, Valiant Entertainment, Vault Comics, you know, 2000 AD, those guys are over from the UK, and then tons of manga publishers like Viz and Kodansha and Yen Press, and really, really across the board. I mean, Diamond is the largest distributor of English language comic books, so if it's published in English, chances are we distribute it.
That's really cool, and it's great to see somebody who really loves the medium grow up in it to be working in it.
It's been awesome. It is kind of like a dream job. It's so cool, and it makes it so easy to do the work because I'm excited about this stuff, and it's easy to promote something you're excited about because that comes through naturally.
So for librarians or libraries mm-hmm. who would like to be involved with Free Comic Book Day, how could mm-hmm. they get involved?
Yeah, so if they go to the freecomicbookday.com website, there's a header bar at the top. If they go to more, there's a drop down, and then they hit FAQ. One of the FAQs is how can libraries get involved? And then it kind of tells you a little bit about it, and there's a link to sign up in that answer bubble, and you hit that link, and it'll ask you, you know, how many comics you want, where we should ship them to. We guarantee every library that enrolls 50 comics, and then you can request as many additional as you want. We do our best to accommodate everyone, as many people as we can, and their requests, but, you know, we're kind of limited by the amount of stock we have. It's pretty straightforward. You know, when you enroll, we'll also send you a promo pack to promote your event, so that'll include stuff like posters and stickers and bookmarks and things of that nature.
That's really cool. And
for people who want to find out whether their local library or comic book shop is participating in Free Comic Book Day, how could they find out? Is there something on the website?
So unfortunately for libraries, we don't have a way of cataloging that just yet. They would have to just reach out to their library individually. However, for the comic shops, we have a way to catalog that. So there's a button on the website in that same header bar that says find a shop, and you click on it and you pop in your zip code, or if you're using a mobile device, it can track where your mobile device is, and it'll bring up a list of everybody within 30 miles of you that's participating.
That's really cool. So aside from Walking Dead, what are you reading now?
Ooh, okay, so I'm always reading Archie. Archie Comics is my favorite thing of all time.
Archie has gotten really, like, different in recent years, I feel like.
Yeah, ever since, like, the Riverdale adaption of it took it to a really dark place, and then that kind of dark place went back and influenced the way that the regular comic story has been told. So the Archie comics now are much more dramatic than they were when they first came out. And then they came out in the 40s, too, so...
That's pretty good. That's pretty cool. What else do you like?
I just started reading this series called Undiscovered Country, which is fantastic. It's a little bit of like a dystopian sci-fi take on what would happen to America if they up and closed their borders and isolated themselves from the rest of the world. So kind of Mad Max, kind of an adventure comic, highly recommended. The third issue just came out last week or 2 weeks ago, so they're not very far in. But I love it.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I just wanted to circle back really quickly because I got really excited before when you were talking about a Halloween version of the Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called Halloween Comic Fest, and it's basically Spooky Free Comic Book Day is what it boils down to. It's the same concept. You can go to your local comic shop and they'll have a selection of free comic books for you to choose from. But the angle is all these comic books have like a horror element to them or Halloween themed in some way to kind of play into that like Halloween, fall, October aspect of all of it. And it's always the last Saturday in October. So like Free Comic Day is the first Saturday in May. This is the last Saturday in October.
Which will actually fall on Halloween this coming year.
Yes, and I couldn't be more excited.
That's great. Trick or treat for comic books. Do as many comic book shops participate in this program as with Free Comic Book Day?
So unfortunately not. It's a lot smaller of an event right now. It's about half as many shops, but the event is still kind of in its infancy, the way I would describe it. So 2013 was its inaugural year. It was the first year we hosted it. So it's still kind of growing.
Excellent. And how can libraries get involved with it, provided there isn't a buy-in like there is for Free Comic Book Day just yet?
Right. So we don't really have a program in place where we can allocate comic books to libraries the same way we do for Free Comic Book Day. But there is a cool program that's part of Halloween Comic Fest where comic shops can buy bundles of these comic books, and they're mini comics, so they're cut a little smaller than like a regular size comic, but they are all ages titles, so they're appropriate for all readers, accessible for everyone, and they come in a pack of 25 for only $5. So if you can wrangle up like $20, you can get a good amount of comics to give out to your patrons.
That's great. And when did that come about? Because I know Free Comic Book Day, we talked about how long that's been around, mm-hmm. but when did this start?
Yeah, so this started in 2013, was its first year, so it's still a baby.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad to hear about it. And when you say horror themed also, because we do have a lot of kids who they like things that are scary, but they sort of fall more on the spooky spectrum because what I think is scary and, for instance, what a 5-year-old thinks is scary are two completely different things. Are these all ages or are they more mature audience?
So they kind of run the gamut. Those mini comics are all ages. So anything that's a mini comic published as a mini comic will be all ages. But then the full-size comics kind of run the gamut from all ages all the way up to mature titles. So they do kind of fall in that full spectrum of spooky all the way up to like actual horror or actually scary, however you want to describe it.
Very cool.
And there's a few publishers that kind of specialize in that spookier element for kids like you were talking about. And so, like, Albatross Funny Books, they do a series called Spook House, which is exactly that. It's basically, like, scarier, spookier stories that are tailored to young readers so they can kind of get that spook without going too far into, like, what would be inappropriate for young readers.
Thank you so much for talking about that as well. I mean, I know there are things that are universally scary. R.L. Stine has done a really good job of tapping into everybody's fear of dummies mm-hmm. with Slappy, the ventriloquist dummy, who's definitely he's spooky and scary.
Yep, I would agree.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
47, I just want to throw that number out there so that everybody knows, 47 is the amount of free comics you can get this year. And then there's also we call them educational support titles, basically books that, like, if you're new into comics, they'll show you, like, teach you about how to collect them or, like, how free speech is defended in comic books, because, you know, that can get a little hairy.
That's a topic for, like, another day, because that could be an hour-long talk about the history of censorship of comic books. There's a whole comic book legal defense fund. Is it the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, which is always very active, because, as we mentioned,
and they're putting together one of those educational support titles is from the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, where they kind of talk about that in fun little stories that make that information more accessible.
Well, thanks again for being with us. I cannot wait to pick up my 47 titles. Could you repeat titles, or does it have to be one of each?
It's completely up to the comic shop. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. I mean, some shops do have a limit based on their own inventory. They might limit you to, like, 5, but some shops say go wild.
That's cool. All right. Well, once again, this is Jessica, and my special guest is
Ashton Greenwood.
And we hope to see everybody enjoying Free Comic Book Day this year. And thank you very much, Ashton.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.